Welcome to Reformation Gospel. Discover the healing truth, and all your efforts to be accepted by God will finally be brought to rest.
An amazing verse here, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, two verses. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. A ransom for all. Not just a few, not just the Christians, but everyone. It's in the Bible. So that word ransom comes from the Greek antili or antilutron. And it means a redemption price to be paid. The word redemption actually comes from to redeem, and the word redeem, listen to this, means to recover ownership by paying a sum. Now, redemption, when we talk about redemption, when the Bible talks about redemption, it's talking about eternity. Eternal redemption is what Jesus secured for us all. When we talk about salvation, I know, of course, Christians very often refer to salvation as meaning eternal security, going to heaven. But salvation is actually a different Greek word, soteria. And it has different meanings. It does not just refer to eternity in heaven and having that secured, being saved so that you will go to heaven. It means that too, but it also means being rescued from danger here on earth in this life. God has, throughout the scriptures, Old and New Testament, rescued believers from danger. And that is also a form of being saved. It's a physical saving. It's a rescuing from destruction, a rescuing from being destroyed or to perish. Remember John 3 verse 16, so that those who believe in him would not perish. And that word perish has nothing to do with being cast into the lake of fire and tormented day and night forever and ever. That word perish has everything to do with being rescued and delivered physically from danger. What danger? Well, that is a matter of eschatology, but it was, and I'll just quickly mention that, it was being rescued, delivered from the wrath of God that came upon apostate Israel during the years up until 70 AD with the destruction of the city and the temple. The 3.5 years that the Roman army surrounded and besieged the city and ultimately totally burned it down. And Jesus had forewarned his followers in Matthew 24, you can read all about it, Mark 13, Luke 21, and John, who doesn't talk about it in the Gospel of John, but he talks about it in the book of Revelation, which, by the way, was written just prior to 70 AD, or actually probably around 64, not as many people claim 90 AD after the destruction. It doesn't make sense really, because even in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation, there's mention of the temple that was still standing at the time. It was definitely written before 70 AD. I remember the years when I studied it, but it would have been several years prior to 64, before the actual Neronic persecution. So that word then, going back to the word salvation, can mean being rescued from danger. Oh, by the way, yes, Christians, believers, Jewish Christians predominantly at the time, believed what Jesus said and then his warnings, and they left the city before the ultimate destruction was executed on the city and the temple. And those Christians, which was predominantly Jews with some Gentiles as well, they made their way far, their escape far. They experienced supernatural deliverance with the assistance of the holy angels. Hebrews chapter 1 talks about that. Is it verse 14? I believe it is. Jesus came back to rescue them. I'm just checking. Yes, it is verse 14 of chapter 1. Jesus came back to take them home. They were raptured. Yes, I do believe in the rapture, but I believe in the rapture that took place then. And sorry if that bursts your bubble, because isn't it nice if we can say now, oh, okay, look at what's happening in our world today, and it's just a total chaos, but we're okay, we're going to be raptured, and so we don't really have to do much, just trust God, and eventually, you know, it'll happen. It should happen anytime soon now, according to the dispensational eschatology, but I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. You are called here in this life to take responsibility and be a positive influence, express the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of heaven here on earth, through walking with God, sharing the love of Christ with other people, expressing the life of Christ through you, and so you will be an asset and part of improving this world, which needs it very badly. But if you're just waiting for the rapture, that's just an escapist mentality, I'm sorry. So the word ransom then, redemption or redeemed, refers to eternity, the eternal security. And I just love this word here. I've read it out to you. Redeemed from the dictionary means to recover ownership by paying a sum. Redeemed, recovered to ownership. You know, that's exactly what Christ did when he gave his life, and he redeemed all of us. And the fact is that God already owned us. He owned humanity from the very start. But sin came into play, and because of that, it became a legal hindrance to mankind experiencing the fullness of life. And that couldn't happen again until Jesus came and gave his life. So that word ransom also refers to a sum being paid, redemption by the paying of a sum or a price. Well, Jesus definitely did pay a price, but he didn't pay a price to God to sort of like buy us free from the wrath of God by taking the wrath of God upon himself. No. The wrath of God did not come upon Jesus. The wrath of God came upon apostate Israel at the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, just like it happened 600 years prior to that, when the prophets forewarned them even then, because they broke the covenant, the Sinaitic covenant. And the Babylonians came and destroyed the city and the temple, the first temple of Solomon, completely. it was a foretelling of what would happen 600 years later in the days of the first Christians, in that first generation of believers. So it happened again. And that was the final the abolishing of the Sinaitic covenant, and thereby the ending of the law of Moses, the 613 instructions, the Torah. And so that was the end of that. And that happened as it was foretold by all these prophets. Isaiah, Malachi talks about it, Ezekiel talks about it. Gosh, all these prophets talk about it. And then Jesus talks about it. And they all expected it was going to happen in their lifetime. All those believers that followed Jesus knew it was going to happen in their lifetime, and it did. If you're looking at John 3:16, look at the whole chapter of the Gospel of John at the end, where even it says that those who did not accept him, the Lord Jesus, then were still or would remain under the wrath of God still, because they were already under the wrath of God. It just wasn't executed yet, but it was 40 years later or 37 years later after the death of Christ. But what Jesus did, really, he redeemed us, and he paid a price. And the price that he paid was not a price of taking the wrath of God upon him, as I said, or paying God the Father, so that he paid the price, the penalty that we could not pay. Well, no, it's not like that at all, because if he paid the Father, then it's not forgiveness, it's payment. Think about it. That's crucial that you recognize this. He ransomed us. Now, just quickly then, the serpent, the old dragon, Satan, was the accuser of the brethren. And what he did, he used legal principles from heaven's court, accusing man before God day and night. That's what he did. He was building up accusation, and he was saying man is guilty because they've sinned, and so they owe God a debt. And this is true. We all owed God a debt. And the debt that we had to pay God was our lives. Because of sin, the price to pay was our life. And that was the ultimate aim of Satan, the accuser, because he wanted us destroyed. Because he felt, he believed, he was the rightful ruler, or should be the rightful ruler of earth. He wanted to be like God, and he wanted to be worshipped as God in this world. And ultimately, really, he hated mankind, because mankind was the object of God's love. And so he was envious and jealous. And God gave man the dominion in this earth. And before Lucifer's fall, he was the archangel over the earth. And then when God places man in the earth and says, now you have dominion and sovereignty in this world, Lucifer goes, what is man that you are so mindful of him? Remember Psalm 8? Somebody quoted, inspired by the Holy Spirit, what Satan or Lucifer actually said. He was jealous. You've given him all dominion. Everything is under his dominion. Everything you created. Well, this is true. And the accusations that Satan brought was basically presented in heaven's court. Was basically, well, you know, they've sinned. Look, they've messed up. They were always going to do that. And they need to pay their debt. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and he dies on the cross, and that old serpent, the devil, the accuser, goes, great, now I've got the Son of God as well. So now he's going to die, and then God has to destroy everybody, all of humanity. And in a way, that's exactly what God did, because God placed everyone, you and me, every human being, all generations ever lived, ever will live, all in Jesus, on the cross, in his death, we all died with him. Wow. But as that happens, suddenly there is a shift, a massive dynamic shift. Because as Satan rejoices in his victory, or assumed victory, thinking that Jesus has died, suddenly what really happened is Jesus established the covenant, the new covenant of peace, which is a covenant of forgiveness. And that very moment when his blood was shed and he presents his blood in the heavenly courts as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, God the Father, in unison with the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God, agree in complete consensus in this new covenant of peace and declare humanity forgiven. Forgiven. And as of that moment, Satan is in total shock and stripped of all ammunition to accuse anyone before God. He still does it, because people don't know it, and people allow their sovereignty to be used by Satan to come before God and accuse man before God. But really, the moment any person realizes or is told the good news, you are redeemed, you are forgiven, and not only that, you are in being dead in Jesus in his death on the cross, you were also born a new creation, united in the resurrection life of Christ, made one spirit with him, and he has become your righteousness before God. And so that is really powerful when people begin to know this truth and the church wakes up and preaches this good news. We take back power and sovereignty, and every spiritual force of darkness is completely silent. No accusation and condemnation will stand before God's throne, but also not in your own mind. You'll be able to walk in a power that is, wow, we've not seen for the last several hundred years. And I believe we're here that finally, you know, Revelation is coming together. And it was already come together in the days of the Apostle Paul. But what happened after that, the destruction of Jerusalem and the rapture of the saints, the resurrection of the dead, there was a deathly silence for at least 40, 50 years. And after that, people who picked up the banner of faith, the Christian faith, had a tremendous struggle to recover the full truth of the gospel because of many other factors. But yeah, Jesus redeemed us. Even though we always belonged to God through what Jesus did, and now he did pay a price. He ransomed us. He paid with his life to do that. He paid with his life to do that. He didn't pay to God. He didn't make payment to God. He didn't make payment to Satan. He gave his life. That was the price he paid so he could establish the eternal covenant of forgiveness. Forgiveness was poured out on that very moment upon all of humanity. And it's here, it has been here since, and it is a discovery, a revelation truth. It's so powerful. It's so powerful.
For more information, go to reformationgospel.com.